Let him imagine, who would comprehend what I saw now, and let him hold the thought rock solid while I speak until the end. The 15 stars whose light is never caught by any barrier in all the air, shining in various regions of the sky. Let him imagine also the great bear of 7 stars, which freely turn on high around a pole with room enough to keep all visible, and add them to the score. And then let him imagine how the steep, high axle hub that caps the first wheel's core puts forth the horn where 2 more stars stand out within the little bear. Then think of these 2 dozen stars, arranged and turned about, all by themselves in all the right degrees, into a pair of sparkling garlands spread in heaven such as Ariadne made, from her wreath when she knew she'd soon be dead, and Bacchus, loving her, raised her to braid the Corona Borealis. As I said, one shines within the other. Both revolve in such a manner that one goes ahead, the other after. That way he can solve the problem, to a small extent. He'll know the shadow of the answer, if you will, of how that constellated double flow danced round the point where I now stood stock still. It lies as far beyond where thought can go, based on experience, as does the speed and spinning of the primum mobile, behind the sluggish course through mud and reed of some tired Tuscan creek on a hot day. They sang there, not of false and pagan gods like Bacchus or Apollo, but of 3 persons in one, combined against all odds, and in one person, man and mystery. The singing circle's measure once complete, the holy lights now gave us their regard, rejoicing that they had new aims to meet. The change to unsung speech might have seemed hard, but doctrine and their song permit no choice between. The light from which I'd heard the tale of Francis the Poor, man of God, gave voice. Breaking the hush of those who never fail to make God's work their own, he spoke thus. When one sheaf is threshed, and all its grain is stored, I mean the line about the straying, then sweet charity next calls me to accord that treatment to the other. You believe the light that was infused into the breast, whence came the rib that made the whole world grieve, giving us her, whose fair face failed the test of reigning in her hunger, the same light that shone into another breast, the one the spear pierced, and which gave us, in the flight of past to future, satisfaction that far outweighs, when balanced and set right, our every fault. You think that light, which is the only light allowed to humankind, was all instilled by God, and is all His who made both man and Savior. So your mind marvels at what I said about the good contained in the 5th light not having known an equal since. When you have understood the answer you have already been shown by me, you'll see my words and your belief meet in the center of the circle where the truth resides. Of all truths, this is chief. That which dies not, and that which dies are there as nothing but the splendor of our sire's idea, which, loving, he begets. Because that living light, which streaming from the fires of its bright source, is never, as it pours, detached from its first well, nor from the love which, with those 2, makes 3, collects its beams through its own goodness mirrored there above in 9 angelic orders, without seam stitched into one forever. It descends to earthly potencies from act to act, becoming such that all things have their ends in brief contingency, the fleeting fact, things generated with or without seed, produced by movements of the heavens. Since the wax of these, and that which does the deed of molding, what's imprinted and what prints are not always the same, so that the light beneath the stamp can more or less shine through. It happens that 2 trees of 1 type might bear better or worse fruit, the same with you. You're born with different talents. If the wax were perfectly receptive, and the force of heaven could run truly on the tracks of its descent, the seal would match the source in brightness. But there is a falling short by nature always. as the artist's craft comes from a trembling hand. Yet keep this thought. If the clear vision of the primal draft of power is moved by burning love, then all perfection is acquired up here. The earth was once made fit for the impeccable advent of Adam and our Savior's birth out of a virgin. Therefore I commend your judgment when it comes to nature's lack of power ever afterwards to blend with God and bring that same achievement back. Human perfection. If I left it there and said no more, then you would say, so how was he we spoke about beyond compare? But just to clarify your mind, think now of who he was, and why, when bidden, ask, he asked for wisdom. I have not concealed my meaning with my words enough to mask the fact he was a great king who appealed for knowledge suitable to that state. He did not ask which forms of the mental moved this upper realm, how many they might be. He didn't seek to know how it is proved contingency undoes necessity when any statement harboring a doubt meets one that doesn't. He had no concern for motion without cause, nor cared about a triangle that had no room to turn inside a semicircle if without a right angle, or any of those things. He wished to know only of government. Note what I say and said, then. For the kings, it's royal wisdom that is heaven sent. An unmatched vision. There the arrow lands of my intention. It applied to those men who wore crowns and met the fierce demands of ruling in the world. Many arose. Good ones were few, and still are hard to find. Take my words thus, and they will fit the frame with what you hold already in your mind about the world's first father, and the same for our beloved. And let this be led to make your feet slow always, like a man grown weary when a yea or nay is said, and you would move as quickly as you can to either point, although your sight is dim. For he indeed is a low-ranking fool, whichever point of view appeals to him, who weighs in either way without the rule of scrutiny, since often it occurs that quick opinion swings to the wrong side, and then the sudden storm of feeling blurs the intellect. And so he breasts the tide, worse than in vain when he casts off from shore. For as he sets out, he does not return the same, who fishing for the truth is poor in patient art. And of this you can learn from minor minds that Aristotle scorned. Parmenides and others, who confused as to their course, would not be schooled or warned. And scholars like Sibelius abused their role, and to the scriptures they were swords reflecting from their blades the natural face distorted. So we should be strict towards all people when they judge at too great pace, like those who count the corn crop in the field before it's ripe. I've seen the briar show harsh through the winter, and too hard to yield when touched. And yet, when spring comes, it will grow the rose. And on the other hand, I've known a ship to cross the sea for all its course, straight as a die, swift as a hawk alone, and at the harbor's entrance, with full force, crack up and drown. Let not just anyone and his wife, Mrs. Anyone, assume, therefore, that when they witness a deed done, they can be certain of the doer's doom on the divine scale. One who robs may rise, and one who makes an offering may sink. Our judgment isn't made from just our eyes, and least of all will it be what we think, when we have barely taken time to blink. Canto 14. The water moves from rim to center when a round container is struck from without. The water moves when it is struck again, but from within, the other way about, center to rim. This proof from science fell into my mind the instant that the soul, so glorious of Thomas, ceased to tell his story, because Beatrice took the role of speaker, and was pleased to follow thus. This man requires, he may not tell you so in words or thought detectable by us, to reach into another truth's roots. Go, you lights, and tell him if you'll keep your bloom for all eternity as now you glow, your substance flowering. Should he assume that when at resurrection you arise, made visible, you will not fear the sight, seeing yourselves with ordinary eyes despite the fact that you remain this bright? Or do you think you won't be able to? Just as the singing dancers in a round, drawn on by joy, redouble what they do, lifting their voices as they spurn the ground with quickened steps, so these ones, as they flew, kindled by the devout oration's spark, showed new delight in how they turned and sang. Whoever grieves that we die in the dark down here to live alone would find that pang soon put to rest if he could see up there refreshment spill from the eternal source. They sang of one, of two, of how three share the rule of two and one, linked fields of force uncircumscribed though unified. This theme was sung three times by all of them. To such a melody, its beauty would not seem for any merit that it praised too much. And then I heard from that most sacred blaze of all the inner circle a soft voice that Mary might have heard with dazzled gaze from the angel sent down to announce God's choice. As long as there's a feast of heaven, just so long our love will generate these robes around us. For the brightness, you may trust, answers our ardor as it first englobes our vision, which in turn is amplified by what divine grace does to merit. When the flesh, made glorious with sacred pride, is put back onto us, our persons then will be more worthy, being more complete, so that the light the great good freely grants will grow, the light that makes us fit to meet his overwhelming grandeur with our glance. So vision will increase, and form that flame, then ardor too, and then the radiance. With any coal that glows white, it's the same. The glow outshines it, but its shape is kept. So the effulgence that surrounds us will be far surpassed by what in earth has slept, the buried flesh. But we, untroubled still, will simply have again to make us strong, our body's organs to abet the shell of light you see around the dancing song of our great joy. And so keen, truth to tell, did both those choirs appear to say, Amen, that they showed very clearly their deep need to have their bodies with them once again. Not for themselves alone, perhaps. Indeed, it might have been their parents they thought of, and everybody else they once had known, when they had lived, for whom they'd felt love, before they changed to endless flame alone. And then, behold, all round and more intense than what it framed, an unflecked brightness rose, the luster that the new day's imminence lends the horizon. And as at the close of day new light starts showing through the sky until the real looks unreal, I began to see the first two rings encircled by a third of new souls. Mouth, do what you can. Describe the sparkling of the Holy Ghost. Eyes could not bear it. Suddenly it glowed beyond the prowess that my sight could boast. To help me see again, fair Beatrice showed her smiling face that beggars memory. My eyes gained strength and lifted, and I saw myself moved with my lady next to me, up to a plane exalted even more, of whose high ranking I was given proof by Mars. More rosy-colored than before, it now seemed. With my heart not held aloof, but fully yielded, I employed my tongue, befitting all the loving care and grace that lit the favors I was now among, of one and all when making in that place the burning sacrifice to God. And still, it burned in my breast, though I knew it was accepted and propitious. For the spill of splendor was so shimmering because of two beams, and so roseate, I said, Divine Sun that so glorifies this! As the galaxy, by lights inhabited, those lights pricked out, both big and little, has a way of whitening between the poles, spaced out at each end of the universe that puzzles still the very wisest souls. How did it gather? When will it disperse, this river in the sky? The two beams made, thus constellated in the depths of Mars, the venerable sign which is displayed by quadrants in a circle when crossed bars form the Greek cross. And here my skill must bow to memory. For that cross, so said Christ, in flames of glory, that I don't know how to find comparison. Who follows Christ by taking up a cross must yet forgive all that I leave untold. When in that dawn he sees Christ's outline come alight and live. Between the peak and base, from horn to horn, lights moved that sparkled as they met and passed brightly, as here we see the particles of matter in the sunbeam, slow and fast, straight and askew, and think a light breeze lulls or lifts them, altering how they appear inside the shaft that sometimes streaks the dark that we devise with cunning from our fear of day undimmed. And as we might remark, how harp and viol, strung with many chords in harmony, touch us with their sweet chime, though we don't catch the tune their sound affords, for too much beauty does not give us time. So from that light a melody emerged, sent by the cross to hold me there entranced, although the hymn's full meaning as it surged I mainly missed. But as the song advanced, I did perceive how plaudits formed its theme. The words, "Arise," and "Conquer," I picked out, piercing suggestions of a general scheme, sure hints of what it must be all about. And I was moved to such love that till then nothing had bound me with so sweet a chain. My bold words here might seem excessive when it is remembered how with might and main I lavished praises on my lady's eyes, in which all my desires achieved their rest. But one who takes the time to realize that those twin living seals, which so attest to all of beauty, gained in strength with each ascent, and that in Mars I had not turned to see them once again, will quickly reach the sound decision that I might have earned exemption from reproof, having accused myself, and see that all I say is true. From there the holy pleasure is diffused, unchecked. Far from excluded, it pours through. As we climbed higher, the more pure it grew. Canto 15. The will of grace, into which liquefies always the love that breathes in the right way, as does cupidity in its own guise, dissolved into ill will, now set the stay of silence on that sweet lyre, and made still the sacred strings that heaven renders taut and loosens with its right hand. When I fill their ears with my prayers that are justly wrought, how can the sounds be deaf, these spirits who, to make me beg of them, with one accord fall dumb? His grief indeed is always new, that robs himself of love forever stored up there, and takes the love that cannot last. As through the still and cloudless evening sky, sometimes a sudden fire will run so fast you'd think it were a star attracted by the notion that it might change place, except that where it came from no star has been lost, and only for a blink is this one kept, before, by vanishing, it pays the cost of its velocity. So from the horn of that cross on the right down to its base there streaked a single star abruptly born out of the splendid cluster there in place. And this gem wasn't from its ribbon torn. Running across the radial strip it glowed like fire through alabaster. So the shade of great Anchises, carrying his load of fatherly affection, reached and made himself known to Aeneas deep within Elysium, and, if I may translate, the shade in Latin said this to begin. My blood, the flow of God's grace far too great to measure. Who but you has ever seen, a second time, the leaves of heaven's gate swing open? Thus the light spoke. I had been fixed on it. Then I turned my eyes again to my great lady, and was twice amazed. By that speech, first, and now by her face, when I saw her smiling eyes, and how they blazed. I thought I touched with mine my deepest grace in paradise. The soul then added joy to his first words with words I couldn't place, but still they gave delight in his employ to sight and hearing, so deep was his speech. Not from his choice, but from what had to be. His meaning was concealed beyond my reach, for his thought far outsoared mortality. And when at last the bow of burning love relaxed enough to let his speech descend to where the subject he was making of might fall within our scope to comprehend, the first thing that I understood was, "Blessed be you, the three in one, who to my seed show so much favor." Then there was the rest. "My son, it is a long and happy need, drawn from the reading of the mighty book, whose black and white are never-changing things, that you have satisfied here when we look through this light and we speak. The light that sings our thanks to him, by whose will you are clad for this high flight with your befitting wings. You think that any thought you might have had comes down to me from him, the primal one, even as unity must radiate all numbers which go forth and get things done, as five and six, but always illustrate that first one. Thus you do not ask me who I am, or why I seem the gladdest soul of all this happy throng. Well, good for you, for your belief is right, and here the whole of what is thought comes back before you think out of the mirror. For both great and small, this thing is true. But so that I may drink to quench my sweet wish, satisfying all the holy love for which I stay alert on constant watch, let your strong, fearless voice, so full of joy and unafraid of hurt, sound forth the will to which I have no choice of answer, the desire I am ordained to meet with my response." And so I turned to Beatrice, who without my speech had gained my mind's import, and smiled, a sign that burned to make the wings grow on my will. I said, "Love and intelligence, after the first equality appeared to you, were led each to a poise where neither was dispersed by the other. Since the sun that lit and warmed you both with even heat and light was so unbiased, no imbalance can be formed. In mortals, will and faculty don't go together, for their wings have not the plume so equally arranged. I, as you know, am mortal. The discrepancy assumes in me the form of feeling. I must give my heartfelt thanks for your paternal vow of greeting. Tell me, Topaz, as you live, gem of this precious jewel, your name." "My bow, who made me joyful just by coming near, I was your root," his answer thus began and went on. "Know this much, now you are here. We are connected, through a single man. Around the hill 100 years and more. Down there on the first terrace he is gone. He was my son, and also he was your great-grandfather. His labors have gone on a long time. It is fit you shorten them with your good works. Your Florence in those times knew peace inside its ancient outward hem, where still at 9 and noon they hear the chimes. But she was chaste then, flaunting not a gem, no bracelet, no tiara, no fine gown, rich with embroidery meant to be seen more than the wearer warranted. The town as yet lacked daughters certain to demean a father with the fear they were too young to marry, and the dowry was too high. No house that still looked empty shared among a family or anyone to try outdoing Sardanapalus. Not yet did Rome give points to Florence on the rise, as one day it will see the same sun set. A fall worse than its own in its own eyes. Quadrada's father, old Belinchion Berti, in humble bone and leather clad I saw, and from the glass with no paint on her face his lady came. Good men were glad to wear plain buff. Their women spun the flax, fortunate women. Then they all knew where they would be buried, home ground at their backs, and not the soil of exile. They were there, not elsewhere, with their husbands loading sacks of gold in France, while one would tend the crib, soothing the new child with the baby talk, father and mother love, mopping its bib, guarding her hatchling like a mother hawk. Another from the distaff drawing skeins would tell the servants stories of how Troy through Rome and then Fiesole remains alive in Florence. We take little joy today in shameless women, or in men who are not honest. But in those days, they would have been freaks. Such things were unknown then. It would have been as if, the other way, great Romans such as Cincinnatus came to us, or women like Cornelia. To such a fair and civil life, where fame was all for peace, the public life by far more loyal, to so sweet a domicile, Mary consigned me where my mother called her name in pain, and in the ancient style of your old baptistry I was installed as Christian and as Cacciaguida both, brothers Moronto and Eliseo, the future wife to whom I pledged my troth, Ferrara, in the valley of the Po bred her. Her family name lives in your stem, for it was Alighieri. Corrado joined France's Louis, and then I joined them to go on the crusade. The emperor made me a knight, so greatly did I earn his favor as we battled that false law whose people, because our popes never learn, still rob you of your rightful holy land. And there that foul breed disentangled me from the deceitful world which has unmanned so many souls for love of it. Set free by martyrdom, I found the peace you see. Canto 16. Our poor nobility of blood. If you move men to glory in you here below, where our affections languish as they do, it never will cause me to ask, how so? Since even there, where appetites run true, unwarped in heaven, I was brought to know glory in you. For truly you wore such a mantle as will quickly shrink, if not added to, day by day, at least as much as time goes round to shear off what it's got. Thus, with the plural you, once Rome's polite touch of speech to honor Caesar, but which since has lapsed, the present Romans use at least, no doubt because they think it would evince some small thought for the empire they have ceased to pay allegiance to. I spoke again. And Beatrice, a little set apart, smiled at my honorific word, as when the lady coughed to warn the hasty heart of Guinevere, and him that wooed her then, that she knew their great secret. I spoke this. You are my father. You gave me the nerve to speak. You lift me up so that I miss no aspect of myself that goes to serve the object of increasing me. My mind is filled with sheer joy by so many streams that it rejoices further still to find it bears up without bursting at the seams. So tell me then, dear shade from which I stem, who were your ancestors? Your boyhood, how do you recall its years? Remember them for me. And Florence, not as it is now, but when it was the sheepfold of St. John, how big was it? Which were the families deemed fit for the high seats that they sat on? As coal is quickened by the merest breeze to flame, just so I saw that light take fire at my fond words, and as it grew more fair in my sight, so I heard its voice acquire yet more the sweetness of a gentle air, but not in new speech, from an older store. From that first Ave till the day that I was born, 500 times and 80 more Mars came back to the lion in the sky to be rekindled underneath its paw. For 2 more years. And I was born like all my family members who had gone before, just where the runners reach the inner wall in your games every year. Let it suffice to hear this much about my forebears. Who they were, and whence they came exacts a price if spoken of. Silence will have to do. Just say that they were old stock. All those there between the baptistry and the old bridge, and of an age that they had arms to bear, beside those who now have that privilege, were but a fifth, yet still the blood was pure, even in humble artisans, who now reflect in every vein, you may be sure, all the surrounding villages. Yes, how much better to have all those aliens for neighbors, with their place outside your bounds, than face the knowledge of their teeming dens within your gates, enduring on your grounds the stink of those 2 crooks from out of town, Baldo and Fazio, both lawyers schooled elsewhere to skills in how to do you down. One of those swine, who had the council fooled, kept you in exile. If the popes and priests, They who fell furthest short of what they should have done had not behaved like beasts. Those cruel stepmothers to great Caesar could have been real mothers to a son. There's one grand name I know up to his neck in trade, who'd be back home where such stuff's better done, although his grandfather went bankrupt, paid in smaller coin. Pistoia's main street still would own the castle that now Florence rules, and not the Conte Guidi. Names that fill the annals of our strife and leave dark pools of blood might have remained in valleys far beyond our walls. Mixture of origin has brought us to the point where we now are, just as the body's ills often begin with bolted food. Remember how the bull, because too big, more easily will fall than any lamb which lives to keep its wool, and that a single sword, what we might call a symbol for a people unified, cuts better and cuts more than any five. If you recall how other cities died, and others still are only just alive, Luni and Urbisaglia are quite gone, Chiusi and Senigallia almost, then you'll see nothing strange to dwell upon. At famous families giving up the ghost, since cities do the same. All your affairs will have their death in time, like you. But this fact is concealed in anything time spares for any span, and our short lives might miss seeing the way it ends. Just as the shores are covered and uncovered by the moon without cease from her heaven, fortune pours its tides on Florence, which are just as soon withdrawn, a flux the living eye ignores, but it occurs. It's not a marvel, then, that I can speak of the great Florentines, whose names are faded now, forgotten men. I could name famous names, but each name means so little now, that once meant power and wealth. Some were already in decline, but some had all the luster, dominance, and health that they had always had. How could they come to nothing? Come they did. Over the gate which bears today such an unheard-of load of perfidy, it's creaking with the weight, and soon must crack up like a bark tight stowed with rotten grain, where now the Cerchi plot their infamies, the Ravignani dwelt. And of their line came all those who were got on daughters of Bellinchion. Men knelt, all ready to the Della Presa. From the house of Galigaio shone the gold sword-hilt and pommel, knighthood's burdensome but proud insignia. Noble of old, so long illustrious, they hang their shield in exile now, the Ghibelline old guard. The Pigli coat of green pale and red field was great, and all the bloodlines that die hard, Sacchetti and Trifanti, he unreeled a whole long honor roll, are scattered names by now, but they were all together then. Who now are embers once were living flames? The stock of the Calfucci bred great men, Sizzi and Arigucci, Guelphs all, sat in seats of office. Here I saw them grand, all the Uberti long since fallen flat, because they heeded pride's obsessed demand. Chiaramontesi falsified the sale of salt by short weight. Lordly, rich in land, once they were bold, yet now you see them pale, blushing forever for one foolish hour. The golden balls of the Lamberti shone in Florence when that family had its power, and now the clan of Mosca is all gone into the shadow. I saw the first flower of men whose sons seized every chance to leech on vacant bishoprics and split the take, the Adimari, honeyed in their speech to him with teeth to bite and claws to rake, yet dragons at the back of him that flees, the Adimari, bred to insolence, and on the rise already did not please Ubertino Donati, whose expense at marriage turned out to include a link of shameful kinship with their paltry stock. The Caponsacchi, come down from the brink of high Fiesole, had doors to lock already near the market. And mark this, Guida and Infangato were esteemed as citizens. And here's one you might miss, unless I told you you would not have dreamed. The inner gate, was once named for the line of De La Pera. And where are they now? And Baron Hugh of Tuscany's design of arms was one with which he would endow all of his house since then until today, when still the feast of Thomas signifies his hour of death. The same coat's proud display marks Giano della Bella, who denies the rich the right to crush their underlings, and turns his words to action. Just the edge of his shield differs. All the quarterings come down from that one source of patronage. The baron, still the captain of his tomb in the Badia. The Borgo would have stayed quiescent, but the Amidei spelt doom for Buondelmonte, a just price he paid for jilting their dear daughter. But they spread their vengeance further, and so all the tears you weep now sprang from that one watershed when that one house had honor. Many years of civil strife began there. Happiness for you died then, with clans at daggers drawn. Ah, Buondelmonte, if you'd listened less to bad advice, and not held vows in scorn, and not fled. Many men since you first crossed the Ema, on your way into town, would now be glad and not in grief be lost, if God had pushed you into it to drown. But it was fitting that the wasted stone of Mars that guides the bridge should see one last peace-offering. A man cut down alone, before all that the city in the past had known of harmony was torn to bits. It was with all these families and more, I mention only those that time permits, that I saw Florence as she was before, in all her plenitude of joyful calm, her people glorious. Not once in war the lily on her flag had come to harm, turned head to toe to show disgrace and spite, or changed in color. When the Guelphs expelled the Ghibellines, the lily turned from white to red to show the victors held the field. It was our city. What a sight! The flag of daylight changed to fly by night. Canto 17. As Phaethon, when he heard that he was not Apollo's son, came in confusion to his mother Clymene, from whom he got assurance that he was indeed the true heir to the god, and then he asked if he could drive the chariot for just one day, which led to such complete catastrophe, all fathers with ambitious sons will say they were made wary by the memory. Just so was I, and so I was esteemed to be by Beatrice, and also by the holy lamp that previously had seemed to alter its position in the sky solely for my sake. Then my lady said, "Put forth the flame of your desire, so it may bear the mark of what lies in your head and heart, the inner stamp that shapes to fit, the stuff that forms the sign, not just to swell our knowledge with your words, but to secure the process yielding you a truth to tell about your thirst, so that the draught so pure may be poured out for you." I spoke just so to Cacciaguida. "Dearest plot of seed, you that are raised so high that just as no mentalities on earth are not agreed to angles, and no fewer are acute in any triangle, so you, when you gaze at the point where light is absolute, and all times come together, see what's true before it is, contingent things before they are, when I and Virgil walked the hill that heals the souls, and when we plumbed the core of that dead world while souls are always ill. Grave words about my future life I heard, though I feel set four square against the blows of chance, for if, before it has occurred, I know my fortune, or the anguish goes from my desire since it is met, just as an arrow when foreseen more gently flies our way, as if what's not yet happened has. Thus, speaking of my wish in the same wise that Beatrice bade me, I addressed the light that talked to me before. Not with the dark riddles by which fools tied their meaning tight before the Lamb of God and did that mark of sin he answered me, but in plain speech and clear-cut terms, paternal love revealed in words, he granted what he had to teach, by his own smile both laid bare and concealed. Contingency in your small world confined— is part of the eternal vision, yet does not derive from that all-seeing mind necessity. Think of the ship that met our eyes but later dropped downstream. From this, what lies in store for you in times to come comes to my eyes with the sweet synthesis of organ notes in their harmonic sum striking the ear. Just as Hippolytus, when he staved off the cruel, incestuous will of Phaedra, was cast out of Athens, thus you will be sent from Florence. To fulfill this aim, which is determined and contrived in detail and will soon come true, there sits, as pleased as if the moment had arrived already, him the papal crown now fits, proud in the hall where Christ is bought and sold all day, yes, Boniface. And as it must, the outcry of the common crowd will scold the injured one. Though vengeance, to prove just the truth that sends it, will come, you will leave all that you love the best, which is the bolt that exile's bow shoots first. You will achieve full proof the bread of others' tastes of salt, and how all stairs are steep when they belong to other men, to climb or to descend. And what will weigh you down, however strong your shoulders, is the evil without end of all the senseless company you keep in that sad valley into which you fall. Ungrateful, raving even in their sleep, with fury aimed at you. Quite soon they all shall have red brows, not you. Their foolish deeds will prove their brute stupidity. That you are by yourself a party, one that needs no other membership, that fact will do you honor. Your first refuge, your first inn, you'll find by courtesy of that great stem of Lombards, the Scaligers. To begin your sojourn, you will meet the first of them, Bartolomeo, with his family shield, the ladder with the empire's eagle spread above, held out for you that it may yield protection. His regard will be so wed with grace that everything you two exchange of asking and of giving will be turned the other way around. He will arrange all that you need before you say so. Burned from birth by this brand of a mighty star, one you will see whose deeds will be renowned. The people have not noted him so far. For just 9 years the wheels have circled round his young head. But before Henry is deceived by Gascon Clement, this youth will show sparks of the heroic. It will be believed, even by enemies, this great dog barks against mere wealth, and his munificence will be part of his military fame. Such generous bravery, sparing no expense, you'll learn to look for in his blazing name, Can Grande de la Scala. With his aid, fortunes will change for many. Many rich will be brought low, and beggars raised in grade to take their place. And these are all things which you'll carry written in your mind about this great Prince of Verona, but you can't speak of them yet. And then he spelled them out, things people will one day see and yet shan't believe their eyes. And then he added, Son, these are expansions on the several hints you've had about the things that will be done to you in just a few short years, which, since they haven't happened yet, are still like snares, concealed where they lie waiting. And yet you should not, when you compare your fate with theirs, envy your neighbors. For the deeds they do, their punishment will come. But far beyond that date your life will last. The holy soul fell silent, having said this to respond to my entreaty. So it was made whole, the woven cloth of which I'd set the weft. He'd put the woof into the web. Now I began again. I still had one doubt left, seeking from him that I'd been counseled by, the benefit of how he saw and willed and loved all rightly. Father, I see well how time that wants my destiny fulfilled digs in the spurs and heads for me pell-mell, to deal the blow which falls with greatest weight on him who heeds least. All the better, then, that I am given power to see my fate, so that, if I may not come home again, I shan't lose other places by my songs. Down through the world of endless bitterness, and on the fair hill where they purge their wrongs, up from the peak from which the eyes I bless of my dear lady lifted me to find light after light throughout these halls of good, that journey forms a lesson in my mind, which, should I tell it, would be sheer wormwood to many. And if I prove to the truth a timid friend, I fear to lose my name among all those who one day in their youth will call these old times. Bright light turned to flame. Inside the smiling treasure I had found. Outside a golden mirror in the blaze of sunlight saying, "Conscience, I'll be bound, shamed by its own or someone else's ways, indeed will find your words harsh. Still you must put lies aside and make your vision plain, and let those scratch who have an itchy crust, since if your voice at first taste gives them pain, yet it will nourish when it's taken in. For even as the wind, this cry of yours will strike the highest peaks, which is to win no little honor. This has been the cause that you've been shown in these wheels here, and on the mountain, and down in the woeful pit. Only the souls that fame has fixed upon, in order that the story you transmit will capture the attention of all those who recognize the names, for otherwise they'd be shut out, as if by doors that close ahead of them. The secret of surprise lies in a framework that we recognize." Canto 18. Already that blessed mirror in his thoughts rejoiced alone. I was still tasting mine, striving to balance their contesting sorts, the bitter and the sweet, while the divine lady conducting me to God on high said, "Think again. Remember I am near the one that all wrongs are made weightless by." My comfort's loving voice, love I could hear, caused me to turn, and then I saw her eyes. Love I could see, but whose full force must rest untold for now, because its power defies the saying of it. I can't pass the test of putting all that glory into speech, and also memory jibs at the task of turning back beyond where it can reach without the one's help. It's too much to ask. Yet of that moment this much I can tell. I looked at her, and my heart was set free of all other desires. The light that fell on her was the eternal joy. To me it was reflected from her eyes so fair, the second aspect of divinity. It satisfied and overwhelmed me there through her smile. She said, "Turn and listen now, for paradise is not just in my gaze." And as sometimes a human face shows how the soul is seized by an emotion's blaze, just so in that burst of the holy fire, the sacred furnace towards which I turned, I recognized the signs of his desire to speak to me of more I'd not yet learned. He spoke thus, "Hear the tree in its fifth hall. The tree that lives top down, always in fruit, never to shed its leaves, is home to all those souls whose living fame was so acute before they came up here. Poets grew rich in praise from praising them. Regard, therefore, the cross's arms, and note the speed with which, when I name names, each one will travel more swiftly than lightning through a cloud." A light flashed through the cross to beat the spoken sound of Joshua's name. Sound yielded to the sight of Maccabeus, brightly spinning round while flying, like a child's top whipped by joy. Charlemagne and Roland drew my focused glance like falcons in their flight. Next to employ that path across the cross came, not by chance, William and Renoir, who both once slew the Saracen, though Renoir was born a Saracen himself. Duke Godfrey flew the same route, the crusader who had worn a king's crown in Jerusalem. There, too, was Robert Guiscard, founder of the line of Normans in our south. These were the knights of Christian battle, whose brave names still shine for us today. And now among their lights shone Cacciaguida, who had said such things to me, and now had gone to show his skill at singing, there where everybody sings in that realm. On my right hand, Beatrice still stood waiting to say what my duties were by word and sign. I saw her eyes so glad and clear that her whole aspect spoke for her, of even more delight now than she had displayed at any time, even the last, and as a man delights in doing good, aware each day that this day has surpassed the day before in virtue, so I could be certain, when I saw that miracle more fair than ever, that my circling route around the heavens had become more full, the radius making radiance more acute. Just such a change as strikes the pale white face of a woman set free from a weight of shame now struck my eyes as I took up my place inside the white light of the temperate flame of Jupiter, the sixth star. I saw there, in Jove's torch, the bright sparkle of the love consigned to trace our speech in vivid air to our eyes, and as birds that rise above the river bank, well pleased at how they fed, are now a round flock, now some other form. Just so those holy souls by song were led within their lights, shaping their shining swarm, each one so quick and vivid on its own, to various figures as they flew, now D, now I, now L. First, singing each alone, they sang their own notes. When combined to be one of these shapes, however, then they paused in silence. Ah, divine Calliope, muse-child of Pegasus, you that have caused glory in genius, as it has done, to cities and whole kingdoms, give me aid with your light so that I may, one by one, describe these several figures as I made them out. For these lines, give me all you've got. In 5x7 verbs and consonants they showed themselves. I noted all, and what they seemed to mean as they combined to dance. Love, justice, said the first words of the lot, in Latin, I translate, that met my glance, and you that judge at home, was the last bold phrase written. In the fifth word shone an M, and it was silver all pricked out with gold, and to the summit of this precious gem descended other lights, all it could hold, and they sang of the good attracting them into itself. Then as rich sparks arise in myriads when burning logs are struck, prompting crass auguries from the unwise, so countless lights appeared to come unstuck from there and float up, some the more, some less, according to the impulse of the sun that kindled them in this way to express its love. And when the whole design was done, with each spark settled, then I saw the head and neck of a great eagle all picked out in fire. He that designs this can't be said to have a guide. He guides. We look about and see a bird's nest, and we know the force that formed it is from him. And now the rest of those blessed souls, which seemed to be on course to gild a lily on the M, digressed, forgetting France or Florence as a source of empire, finding Rome was still the best, and joined their friends in the heraldic scheme. Sweet star! How many and how bright the jewels, making it plain to me that we all deem as earthly justice with its written rules is heaven's work, the sky in which you gleam. Therefore I pray the mind in which begin your movement and your power, that it regard the place in Rome that makes the smoke wherein your beam is dimmed. High time to crack down hard once more on trade within the temple walls, put there by miracle and martyrdom. Sky armies upon whom my vision falls, pray now for those on earth distracted from the truth by ill example. Once it was the custom to make war with swords, but now it's done by holding back the bread because the one denied that nourishment. See how it can be had again for coin, although sweet God decreed that none should be deprived of sacraments. But you that traffic so, Giovanni, you that grasping have contrived to sell indulgences for ready cash, take thought of Peter and of Paul, who died to plant the vineyard that you turned to trash. They are alive. You might say in your pride, I know them not, for I have set my mind on him who lived alone till Salome danced him to bloody death, and whom you'll find depicted on the florin. That's the way ahead for me, and for the church today. Canto 19. With open wings, the lovely image reared before me, those collected spirits glad in sweet fruition. Each of them appeared to be a little ruby the sun had instilled with such a flame the light was thrown back to my eyes. And all that I have now to tell was never yet by tongue made known, nor put in ink. No fancy has known how even to think of it. I saw and heard the beak talking, saying, I and mine, for we and ours, so lending one voice to each word. For being pure and kind, I come to be exalted here to glory unsurpassed by any worldly wish, and on the earth I left behind such memories now last that even wicked men concede the worth of what I did, though they don't do the same. And just the way we feel a single glow from many brands, out of that image came a single sound that many loves made so. And then I, everlasting flowers of bliss eternal, who make all your perfume seem to me but one, when you breathe forth like this, you save me from the fast no feasts redeem on earth, of which my hunger was the proof. I know that though a mirror for divine justice takes fire beneath another roof of heaven, nonetheless you see it shine without a veil. You must know how intent I am on listening. You know the doubt I hungered from so long, and what it meant. Just as the falcon moves its head about, freed from its hood, and once more flaps its wings to show how keen it is, and dips its beak to preen its feathers, so I saw these things echoed by that sign getting set to speak, combining all the songs that those up there rejoice in. He that compassed all the bounds of this world, and in it made some things bare to sight and others hid, so it astounds with its variety, could not impress his power thus throughout the universe without his word in infinite excess, remaining, and this truth we can rehearse by thinking of the fate of Lucifer, that first proud spirit, highest of the high, and how, before his ripeness could occur, he fell the day he could no longer fly, because he had not waited for the light, the word of God, from which it follows all the lesser natures at a lower height are too slight vessels for the flood we call the good, which has no limits we can find, and only by itself is measured. Thus our vision is but one ray of the mind that fills all things, and it is not for us to blink the fact that our sight's origin lies far beyond the furthest we can see. And so the power of eyesight working in your world may pierce the sheer infinity of everlasting justice only as the eye into the sea, whose bottom shows near shore. But in the open deep it has no bottom to be seen, though the mind knows depth has concealed the truth. All light must come from clear, unclouded sky, else darkness reigns, the shadow of the flesh, which is the sum of all its sensual errors and dark stains. But now the place is opened up to you, which hide the living justice you have sought so often, saying, what good does it do for some man born in India who's taught nothing of Christ by speech or text, and yet all his desires and deeds, with virtue filled, in life or speech, show nothing to upset our human reason. With not one sin willed, outside the faith and unbaptized he dies. Where is the justice that condemns him? Where is this man's fault? But who are you, whose eyes would judge across 1,000 miles of air from your small bench with short sight? Yes, we could dispute the issue, you and I, and were no scriptures set above you, then there would be ample room to cavil and demur, as if your questions counted. Clods of earth, mud brains, nothing can move the primal will. Good is itself, draws from itself all worth. Whatever meets that mark can do no ill, and must be just, and no good that is made can draw it in, because its blazing rays create that good as well, and are displayed in all it makes, and all that meets our gaze. Just like the circling stork above the nest, where she has fed her young, and the one fed looks up to her, so I below the blessed and lofty image as its bright wings, led by many counsels, moved to make it wheel. It sang, then spoke to me. The notes I sing, that you can't follow, but whose truth you feel, show you the holy word is everything, to mortals that they cannot comprehend about eternal judgment. Then they paused, those scintillating fires without an end, sparks of the Holy Ghost, the sign that caused the world to hail the Romans still their frame, which then began again. None ever rose to this realm who did not revere the name of Christ, either before the doom he chose or after it. The tree, the nails, the death, these they believed. But some who cry, Christ, Christ, will be less near to him at their last breath than many others who do not know Christ. Even the Ethiop shall then condemn such false Christians. When those two companies are parted so there's no more joining them, the rich and poor forever, infamies of your kings will be in the open book. What will the Persians say when they see writ among the deeds of Albert how he took the realm of Prague from Wenceslas, and it was ruined? And the misery shall be seen brought to the Seine by Philip when he tore the value from the coin, stripping it clean of worth, and he himself killed by a boar he hunted. Also will be seen the pride that maddens men with thirst, so that the Scot and Englishman can't keep to their own side of the draw line, but think that what they've got is nothing without what the other holds. And it will show the way the King of Spain was lost to lust and luxury's soft folds, and that Bohemia shrank from the reign of one who knew no worth nor sought it out, and crippled Charles of Anjou for his one real virtue, liberality, no doubt, will get a mark, but the evils he has done, 1,000 marks. The avarice of him in Sicily, and also his faint heart, will there be shown in words no eye can skim, for they will be abbreviated, part serving for whole, so as to fit the news in a small space. And all the dreadful deeds of that same Frederick's uncle will accuse themselves in that book for whoever reads. His brother, too, will be accounted for. A pack by whom a noble lineage has been dragged through the mud, and what is more, and here alone is text for a whole page, 2 crowns have been besmirched. And Portugal and Norway, too, will have kings named, and he of Serbia, who forged the means to call a lead plug a Venetian ducat. We may cry, ah, happy Hungary, now that no longer she connives at her own wrong. Happy Navarre, was she not aiming at abject surrender to the siren song of a dynastic marriage? Let her trust in her surrounding mountains and be warned by Cyprus, whose twin cities sadly must live with the loose French ruler they once scorned, and pray for a new day, which has not dawned. Canto 20. When he that lights the whole world sinks from sight out of our hemisphere, so that the day is spent on all sides, sky concedes to night, sky that was lit by him alone gives way to many lights, all shining with his light. This scattering